Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California.
What's up, everybody? It's Owen. It is podcast episode number 65, and today I talked with Adam Stowe, who is the general manager of the Slow Blues. And in the summertime in San Luis Obispo, there's not a lot as far as sports go. Cal Poly's out. There aren't as many places that baseball fans and sports fans can go unless you want to drive a long way. And one place that you can see pretty good baseball is in San Luis Obispo at Sinsheimer Park with the Blues. The Blues are a collegiate baseball team. They're made up of collegiate baseball players. I guess they're not a collegiate baseball team, but they have collegiate players. It's a wood bat league that they're in. They're in a pretty high level wood bat league, and they get players from teams, college teams all across the country, from the Big 12 to the SEC to the ACC. And they've started the season 7-1. They're still getting more players in. I got a chance to talk to Adam Stowe about a lot of things, including what it's like to try to manage a lot of guys coming in from a lot of different places, what it's like to try to manage. I think he said it was something like 60 games and, or excuse me, like 56 games in 60 days or something like that. You have players that are getting a lot of games in a short period of time, and that means that there's going to be a lot of baseball at Sinsheimer this summer. I really enjoyed talking with Adam, and I hope you enjoy our conversation as well. It's Adam Stowe from the San Luis Obispo Blues. He's the general manager, and this is podcast episode 65. Enjoy. So I'm here with San Luis Blues general manager and part owner, Adam Stowe. How's it going today?
It's going very well. Thank you.
Great. It is a Wednesday.
It is.
It is one of the few days off that you have pretty much between now and what, August?
Well, it's not technically a day off. There's always things to do. Okay. There's always things to catch up on. The team actually has the day off. However, they're practicing. We're still waiting on a few players to arrive, so it's a good day to get a workout in and not have the kids committed to the ballpark for the better part of the day.
Yeah, yeah. So on a day, and I'm using air quotes, off like this, how much of the – I mean, I've been reading about players coming from all over, and over the last, 14 days or something, depending on who won and lost in the College World Series, you guys have players that are going to get here or not going to get here.
Yeah.
Right? Is that kind of how that works over the last few weeks?
Yes. It's quite an impressive juggling act. Fortunately, one that I have a lot of help with. Players do come in all the time, and depending whether they're on quarters or semesters or their team's involved in the playoffs, you never really know when half the team is coming until the day before they can come. So right now, I think we have about 23 players, and we're waiting between 5 to 7 more to come in.
So you have like somewhere between 25 and 30 by the time.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
Hopefully. I mean, off and on probably too, right? I mean,
sure.
You might have players that come in for a while and they're pitchers maybe and they want to rest or something. I mean, I would imagine there's...
For the most part, they commit to the entire summer.
Okay.
However, if they get drafted, for instance, and signed, they'll be gone that day. Sometimes it's academic issues or family emergencies that they have to leave for, but for the most part, they commit to the entirety of the season.
And are we talking like age-wise? What's the range? I know that there were some guys who came in to fill in who might have been even like high school players, right? Or like high school seniors that just graduated too?
Yes.
Over the last week?
Yes. And those high school players are college-bound. Okay. It's summer collegiate baseball, so everyone needs to be playing on a college roster somewhere, whether they're outgoing or coming back. I would say the age range is from 18 to 23.
Great. And that means that these are players who might have even been college seniors this last year.
Correct.
Okay. Got it.
Got it. There are not many of those, however.
Right.
Generally, the way college baseball works, if you're not drafted by your junior year, you're not going to be. So by the time you're a senior, if you're not drafted, there's not a lot of point in playing summer ball.
Right.
But
some of them might want to.
Sure. So that's it. Of course.
Talk to me about the history of the Blues. We grew up in Cayucas, the Fansmanship team. I definitely used to come to games in, I'm picturing the late 90s, but I'm trying to kind of think about it and have some great memories from that. Talk to me about the history of the Blues and the development of the organization over the years. And it seems like, and I don't know this for sure, but, have the goals of the Blues changed, or has the league, obviously the league they've played in has, and the type of baseball that we see has changed over the years too, right?
Yes. The Blues started off, at least as far back as we can trace them, in 1946. It was just a bunch of vets coming home from World War II that wanted to continue playing baseball, and they played anybody. I mean, they were semi-pro because there was no single A, double A, triple A. It was just semi-pro or pro. So they were a semi-pro
team. In the 40s.
And I mean, it literally was, the doctor was the pitcher, you know, the butcher was a shortstop. It was literally like that for many years under general manager Sandy Laguna. And many of those guys are now in our Hall of Fame. But he managed and coached the team for a good, you know, 15, 20 years. Yeah. And after he moved on, things kind of fell apart until really, so about the early 70s, they sort of started disappearing. About the early 80s, a man named Tim Golden came back and revived them and worked very hard. However, just was unable to make ends meet and went through a series of owners. At that point, when he came on board, he started the college age. And then as it progressed and the Blues became more serious throughout the years, they started getting more serious about being a part of the National Baseball Congress and participating in the national playoffs and having true college players, which is where we're at today.
Got it. And that was, so from the 80s on, kind of?
Yeah, 80s on, it developed into a top-notch summer collegiate program.
Got it. And it's a wood bat league.
It is.
So, back when I was growing up, I would always hear, like, Peter Gammons and guys talk about, you know, so-and-so did whatever in the Cape Cod League when they, you know, and I'm picturing that as a similar, is it a similar type deal where college players are using wood bats and maybe giving scouts an opportunity to see, especially for hitters, how are those hitters able to translate the power that they have or the kind of ability they have to wood bats?
Sure. There are approximately 400 summer collegiate teams, to give you some background.
Okay.
There are probably 40 leagues nationwide. Okay. One of those is the Cape Cod.
Right.
One of them is the California Collegiate League, right, which we play in.
Yeah.
If you're looking at the leagues as conferences in college football,
right,
we are probably the third best. We'd probably be the Big Ten or so. Okay. The Cape Cod's number one, Alaskan League's number two, and the California Collegiate.
The Alaskan League?
Yes.
Okay.
The way it generally goes,
they can play all night there in the summer.
That's it. The best pitching goes to Cape Cod League generally. The best hitting goes to the Alaskan League because they can take batting practice 20 hours a day. And then
I've lived in Alaska in May. Yeah, I'm pausing because I can kind of picture that. Yeah,
but sure. We also play in a league with the Santa Barbara Foresters. Right. We've been league champs with them the last 2 years, and each year they've gone on to win the national title back in Wichita.
The Foresters have.
So okay, we're in some pretty good company,
right?
And so the Blues and the Foresters add some pretty good credibility to our league.
Right, absolutely. And some of the other teams in your league include
The Conejo Oaks, the Santa Paula Halos, the Bakersfield Sound, the Southern California Ketch.
Where's that? Where are they located? Southern California.
Southern California. I don't honestly know what city they play in.
That's awesome. Okay, keep going.
Let's see. I believe that might be it.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so it's mostly like
Southern California. San Luis Obispo is the furthest north, Bakersfield furthest east, LA furthest south.
Okay. All right, so that's not bad for travel and logistics. If you're in San Luis Obispo, you're going to have to travel somewhere.
Right.
I mean, it's like Cal Poly in the Big West. They're going to have to go somewhere.
That is true.
So talk about the operation then. I mean, being the general manager, you have to have oversight over, number one, getting players here and finding players who want to come here. And how does that process work? Is it like recruiting? What does that look like? I mean, I'm trying to picture it.
Actually, the process with the players is handled by Chal Fanning, who is our head coach and also director of baseball operations.
Great.
His history is as a recruiter.
Okay.
Summer collegiate is a little different in that the coaches generally recruit you, meaning as soon as Alabama season's over, one of their coaches is on the phone looking for a place for their next season's roster to play. So there's only, 25 or so legitimate programs out there. They want to get their kids into those. So, the season, our season's over in August. By September 1, we'll have 30 kids on a roster.
Your season's over by August.
By August, and by September. Beginning of August, our season ends.
Uh-huh.
Beginning of September, we'll have a full roster.
For the following year. So you already know who those guys are for the following year.
For the most part.
Yeah.
There's always 90%. Some kids who get hurt, kids who have academic issues, not to stay, get drafted. But 60 to 70% of those kids will come for sure.
Interesting.
So the recruiting part's pretty easy. The hard part is finding host families for them.
So talk to me about that process. I've had friends who have talked about, maybe being host families at some point and kind of how that works. So how does that work? How can you be a host family and basically there are people who live in San Luis Obispo, right?
We have families kind of all over the county.
Okay.
It's simply a local family or individual who has a spare bedroom and is willing to open up their home for a couple months to a ball player. There are some benefits. They do get season tickets to the Blues games. They get a T-shirt. They get some, you know, some barbecues and awards at the end of the year.
Sure.
Some food vouchers.
Sure.
But really, it's just another way to support the Blues if you can't necessarily be a sponsor and still want to help. We have families in Atascadero, Templeton, Los Osos, Arroyo Grande, I believe, is as far as we go south.
Got it. So these are people who, you know, feed the players when they can. They do.
They're actually only responsible for providing a room, access to a fridge, and access to laundry.
Okay.
They're not transportation, not food.
Okay.
However, a lot of times, in all honesty, the players
somebody living with you.
They become really close, and they, you know, they invite them to join them for meals and whatnot.
Like,
but
yeah,
it's a really good relationship. It gives our players instant local support and gives the families, you know, an experience of having a ball player with them for the summer.
Sure, sure. And I see where we're sitting here at Sinsheimer, and looking out over the field, and you were telling me it's going to be a busy summer for between the San Luis Obispo owns the field, yeah, the city.
The school district owns the field.
The school district. San Luis Coastal.
They lease it to the city.
Who then leases
it to everybody else.
Which is like the rec league.
Right. So they are bound by two sets of priorities of use.
Fantastic.
Yes. Lots of fun.
So then, like on an off day like today, do you guys use other fields to practice? What does that look like?
Yes, we do. Okay. We wouldn't practice here.
Right.
We'll find some other local facility to work out at.
Uh-huh.
But there aren't many practices. There may be two or three practices, honestly, throughout the entire course of the year.
Wow.
We play 52 games in 60 days, and some of those off days are travel. So we keep the kids busy.
Got it. And travel is by bus?
By bus.
Okay.
Always.
Got it. And so you have to manage, I mean, I'm just trying to think of all the logistical things that you have to manage on top of getting the players here. Where are they going to stay? Then the travel once they get here.
And food and lodging and all that. it becomes a little bit like juggling a million balls at once.
Do all the players end up with host families, or do some of them end up living together somewhere else?
No. If they are not local, they end up living with a host family.
Okay. All right. And that's something that you guys are always looking for, right?
Sure.
As far as people who are willing to do that.
We can always use them in the future if they can't do it this year necessarily.
What's something that like people don't know about? I mean, the food part, the host family part, all those. What's one of the operational things that you have to deal with on a daily basis that some people maybe just don't realize?
There's not one overwhelming thing. There's lots of little things.
Uh-huh.
For the most part, we have great help. Uh-huh. Central Coast Distributing does a great job of keeping our beer stocked. The Rib Line handles all of our concessions, and they're
honestly... That's right. I was talking to Brian. And
they're
said
a dream
that,
to work with.
Yeah.
Their food's fantastic. Their people are friendly.
Yeah.
Perfect ballpark food. I have 18 to 20 interns, all from Cal Poly. That's a little interesting managing them, but they run everything from tickets to merchandise to marketing. They do it all. So it's a good learning experience for them as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I see that you guys have a lot of sponsors out here too.
We do.
I would imagine all these signs that are hanging on the walls and all these signs on the fences behind me are all sponsors of the Blues, yeah?
They are.
Okay.
We have more than 80 sponsors, our business partners on board this year. The community has been fantastic as our image has improved and we've tried to get the program into better shape. More and more businesses have come on board, and I'm getting phone calls almost every day.
Yeah, awesome. You talk about the image improving. How long has the current ownership group been around, and what's that, and what more specifically are you referencing there?
When Jim Galusha
came
on board as the majority owner,
okay,
I believe that was 5 years ago.
Okay.
They took over an ailing program that had some media black eyes and some ailing bank accounts, and decided that he really did want to try and turn it around, and that was actually a monumental task that nobody really realized what it would take.
Uh-huh.
I happened to contact them the next year looking to come back to the area and stay in sports. It just so happened my background's in marketing and fundraising, so it worked out pretty well. And I'm from San Luis and went to Blues games as a kid, so it's a dream job.
Awesome. Yeah, I have a fun story that you might not think is so fun from the late 90s. I'll tell you actually. I was sitting down there watching a Blues game, and I can't remember if it was somebody on the Blues, probably somebody from one of the visiting teams. This huge guy, he was probably about 6'4", probably weighed in at about, you know, 300 pounds or something, you know, 280. He was a large individual. And he looked like a coach. I mean, you know, he had kind of like the scruffy beard. You know, I thought, this guy's not a player. He's a coach. He's not playing most of the game. I look over, you know, in like the third or fourth inning, and he's kind of around the back having a cigarette, you know, and I'm thinking to myself, yeah, this guy's got to be a coach. About the seventh inning, he pinch hits. Second pitch he sees, hits a home run. And I just remember kind of shaking my head, like, what's... I was just trying to make sense of it. And it sounds like you guys have things a little bit more, like, intact as far as some of those pieces.
We've tried to put some of the screws down. Chal does a wonderful job of managing our kids.
It was just a random... And it's not the only memory I have from the Blues, but it's the most random, one of the most random sports memories I have around here.
Well, okay, I got one for you too then. In the late 90s at a Blues game right after graduating from Cal Poly, we were sitting in the stands with some buddies and we'd had a few beers and we just watched Bull Durham. And somebody jokingly said, you need an Ultrex Ox in the outfield because I was working for Ultrex. And I thought about it and pitched it to Ultrex and they... said yes, and that bull has been out there operating for the last 15 years.
And the eyes light up?
Eyes light up, smoke comes out the nose, and the tail wags, just like the Durham Bull.
And I've been to Durham, and they actually have one of those in their new stadium,
too. Theirs is a little bit bigger.
I can vouch for it. Yeah, but yours looks good. So what happens, it's over the yellow line out there. So if it hits the bull, it's
the umpire's discretion.
Oh, was it a homer or not?
Yes, but in 15 years, I've never seen a ball even come close.
Isn't that weird?
Except in batting practice.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that...
it's right in a power alley. You would think you would be over there sometime.
Right. So on the field this year, let's talk about this year's players. I know you guys get players from all over the country. We're talking the SEC, ACC, big-time conferences. I know you guys sometimes have some local players, too, that that are kind of fan favorites around as well. Who's kind of lined up for this year, and who are you still kind of waiting on, maybe, as far as people who are still playing?
Yeah.
If there are any.
No, we are still waiting on a few. We have kids coming all the way from Carolina to Oregon, literally. We have kids from Tennessee, Texas A&M, Kansas State, Mississippi State, Purdue, Nebraska, Oregon, all over the place.
Oregon's a top 10 team.
Yep.
And you're talking.
And so is Mississippi State and Texas A&M.
Kansas State's a top 20 team.
Yep, they are. So we're pretty fortunate as far as the talent we get. But in all honesty, you know, if you're a kid from Kansas looking for a place to go for the summer, San Luis Obispo is not a bad option. And if you can play for a top 25 team and be well taken care of, why not come out here? Right. So we try to provide the safest atmosphere for them to develop that we possibly can.
How much does the marketing that you guys do and the ability to get sponsors allow you to kind of have a good-looking program, a good-looking operation, right, and something that's maybe very appealing for a kid like that to come in and be a part of? Like you said, to take care of them and do all those things.
Well, it's really taken a long time. And for years and years, the Blues lost a lot of money. In fact, last year was the first time ever that we broke even. We still have a lot of debt to pay off, but we didn't lose money on last year's season.
Okay.
So at this point, we can start making improvements. I mean, we've always tried to be a family-friendly atmosphere where mom and dad can come and relax and the kids could be safe. And from there, we worked on creating a top-quality baseball team. And Chal did a wonderful job of that. And then from there, it was simple baby steps and minor improvements to get to where we are.
Right. So who are some of the players? Let's just, like, look at them. I mean, I'm looking at a roster here from
Taylor Anderson
from Lincoln Southwest High School and plays at Cuesta.
Yep. He's been great for us. He's hitting
from Denver originally. And
he's been hitting phenomenally. I think right now he's hitting about .381 for us.
Okay.
He's been doing wonderful.
So he's one of the players who's been here. And the Blues, by the way, are off to a 7-1 start this
year. Yes, we are. Actually, we just lost our first game yesterday to the Santa Paula Halos.
On the road?
On the road. 6-5. Okay. It was a very close game.
Right. Santa Paula came back in like the eighth inning.
I don't want to talk about it. but it's a lot of fun to watch these kids come in. I mean, they come in every day and you see them roll into the ballpark with their airline tag still in their bag, not looking like they know where to go, you know, and you go over and welcome them. This one kid, Leo Vargas, for instance, you know, he's from way down south at Nichols State, and he walked in one day, and he just met his host family, and he'd been on a plane all night, and ended up hitting a home run his first time at bat. And he was so happy. It was so great to see. It was a great welcome to San Luis Obispo.
Awesome. And so, you know, I'm just looking up and down this lineup, like you said. I mean, players from all over. Do you have players that come one year and want to come again, or is there kind of a once you've been to one place, kind of the point of playing in one of these leagues is to get out and kind of see the country and, yeah. and kind of have an experience like that. So going back to the same places, maybe not quite as off. It doesn't happen maybe as often as you think.
That's exactly right. I mean, one of the goals of summer collegiate baseball is to give the kids a taste of what it would really be like to play on a minor league contract where you don't have somebody doing your laundry, you know, and coaches feeding you. You're on your own. You're playing every day. And you kind of decide, do I really want to do this or do I want to go back to school and get my business degree? That's part of the reason that we do this, is to give them what it would look like. So there's not a lot of time for them to screw around, honestly.
Beyond the interns, what does the Blues staff look like? I would imagine it's not huge.
Me.
Okay. You and the coach.
It's myself, the head coach, some part-time assistant coaches, and our host family coordinator who's a volunteer. That's it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So you talked about the fan experience.
Yes.
I want to kind of get into that a little bit more.
Sure.
Sinsheimer is a great facility. I mean, it's got the grass berms that always are really nice to come and bring a blanket and sit out on. It's got, you know, seating all around. It's sunny out here. It's just a little breeze blowing right now. It's actually kind of an idyllic setting what we're looking at now.
It is.
Talk about the fan experience here and what are some things that you guys do. I would imagine you talked about it being kind of like a minor league situation. Mm-hmm. You guys kind of have to treat it that way from a promotion standpoint and everything else, right?
Yep. Well, you start off, it's sort of like a painting, you know, you start off with a blank canvas, and our canvas is gorgeous. The city of San Luis Obispo does a great job maintaining the facility, and we have 800 pro style stadium chairs. So if you want to get a seat right on the action, you can sit down there, or if you want to come and relax, you can throw down a blanket or a lawn chair and sit on the grass area. It holds about 2,000 people.
Right.
And then from there, it's simply a matter of entertaining them. And really, I want this to be a big moving backyard barbecue, you know, where you're sitting next to your neighbor, having a beer, chatting about what's going on next week. And by the way, there's a baseball game going on. That's really the feel we want to give. And we have promotions going on. Every inning, we're giving something away. We have an entire kid zone with bounce houses and obstacle course. We have a VIP area upstairs for people who want a special experience, you know, beer, wine, full concessions.
So you guys sell like a VIP box kind
we
of
do.
For each game?
We do. Okay. If a company hasn't rented it out for $25, it includes your ticket and complimentary beverages, including beer, wine, soft drinks, and water for the game, a hot dog, and a souvenir peanut hat.
That's kind of a good deal for $25.
I think it's a great deal.
Dang.
Okay. We only sell 40 of them, and you can only buy the tickets at the gate.
Got it. So you sell 40 of them at the game if a company hasn't already bought the thing. Okay,
right.
Cool. And you could probably call or email to find out if that's even going to be a thing.
You can look online, actually. And if there is
blocked out.
On our schedule, it'll list everything that's going on. If there's something that says VIP, it means that company has rented it out.
Got it. Okay. All right. That definitely makes sense. So you guys play a lot of games in a lot of days. What's the best way to find out about what's happening? It's on your website probably, huh?
Yes.
Okay.
Website will be updated continually.
And your website is?
Bluesbaseball.com.
Okay.
And if you want to find out information on our league, it's simply calsummerball.com.
Calsummerball.com.
And that'll list all the stats from every team, all the standings, all that good stuff.
And most of your games on the weekends are afternoon games, or is it kind of depend? I know there's like firework games that you guys have too. Those are kind of some popular ones.
Yeah, generally Thursday, Friday, and Saturday we'll play at 6 o'clock. Sundays are 1 o'clock. There are some exceptions, but again, you can find our schedule online to confirm.
Okay, and then you guys still do fireworks sometimes?
We do.
Okay,
July 3rd.
Yeah,
is our Independence Day fireworks show. That'll be a big one. That one will be sold out, so I recommend getting tickets in advance.
That's a Wednesday night, I think.
That is a Wednesday night, I believe. And then our last one will be our last day, July 26th. It'll be the season finale.
Got it. And as far as tickets go, a lot of the games sell, you know, some of the games sell out, but you can most of the time walk up and get a ticket, right?
For every game, except for fireworks, you should be fine walking up and getting a ticket.
Okay.
Fireworks are the only time that you might have a little concern.
You're going to want to get that early.
Yeah.
And ahead of time.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Mr. Stowe, I really appreciate it.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
And hopefully we'll be able to take some pictures and be around for some Blues games this year.
That'd be wonderful.
Yeah.
Always a pleasure to meet some other locals.
Absolutely. Thanks.